really know how to start a podcast. I mean, I do it every week, but it's always really hard for me because I didn't write this one down. So I'm just going to go ahead and assume that we're recording now.
Okay.
Hey.
We're recording now. This is the first time we've recorded at Local Legends.
Yeah.
We should probably say that.
Yeah, this is a big shout out to Local Legends for letting us record this episode here. It's, Gaming Center, downtown, Midtown, Kansas City. Fucking excuse me. It's a little live in here. Yeah. So I'm going to do what we can to get the audio fixed up a little bit after our recent recording issues where it defaulted to the laptop microphone.
Yeah,
I have been
bad.
Very good to make sure that we did not do that this time.
Yeah, that was rough. All right, Cam, tell me what the purpose of this podcast is.
So this is Challenge Mode. This is the show. It comes out every other week, about Saturday usually. It's whenever we can get it up on the weekend typically. It's a show where we like to go back and just kind of revisit some of our favorite games, kind of approach them with a new kind of outlook. In my case for today, like reminisce on stuff that's important to us and kind of take a deeper dive into that. Maybe explore just anything about games, games culture, people who make the games, people who make parts of games, just really kind of whatever.
Deep dive into whatever we want.
It's just a less topical gaming show. It's a good time. So thanks everyone for hanging around. We got Thomas here. Obviously, he's been talking.
Hey, that's me.
We got Lang here. What's going on?
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Lang, welcome back. You're on an episode of the Gamer Heroes podcast with the two of us.
Yeah, way back in the day of like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Seems like yesteryear.
Yeah, all the way back. And God, this year has just been exhausting.
You know what we're going to have to do is eventually we're going to have to get a real studio. Because we now that we're recording here in Local Legends Gaming.
Check them out. They're on Facebook.
Yeah, go check them out. That's where we have our Wednesday meetups. It's a pretty cool place. Now we've recorded in three different places. Mm. We gotta find a home.
We do.
You just moved. I'm about to move.
Yeah.
And man, it's hard. Recording a podcast turns out pretty difficult.
It turns out a little bit more work than you would expect.
It's like scheduling a D&D session.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you have to have multiple sessions planning the session.
Yeah. So, like, a little bit of transparency here, and I know this is totally not what the episode is about, but who cares? We recorded the first three episodes of Challenge Mode pretty much in the same day, and then we just hadn't met for, like, months.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
We've just been trying to, like, get together and record more, but, like, it just never lined up with all three of us.
We tried to record several weeks ago at this point, and everything was, our schedules finally were synced up, so we were going to be able to record. And a few hours before, I messaged the group and I was like, I absolutely 100% cannot record because I'm sick as hell and I will get you sick. Like, no questions asked. So we were like, all right, that was on a Thursday. So anyway, fast forward to the weekend. It's Jimmy's birthday. We got together for a get together. Well, you know I got him sick at that birthday party.
Oh, you...
So,
yeah.
Totally defeated the purpose.
I didn't get sick at that birthday party, honestly.
I'm surprised more people did not get sick. Yeah. So, man, that was just a bummer. We skipped the episode, trying not to spread the plague, and didn't matter.
Yeah. So, now we're here. We're, like, a few weeks late, but that's okay.
And,
whatever.
And now we're here to spread the plague of Persona 4.
Yeah. Right? So, I wanted to talk today about not only a game that's just super incredibly important to me, but a game that was the first game that I ever had just an intense, like, an emotional reaction to. Up until that point, I had always been... I just kind of took people at their word when they're just like, oh, these games are art. They're big, like, moving pieces and everything. And up to this point, like, I played Journey, and I thought Journey was, like, super cool. It was fine, you know. But the year was 2013, and I was looking for some stuff to play on my PlayStation Vita, you know, which is a question that every Vita owner has asked... Pretty much the entire time.
What am I supposed to do with this thing?
Right, exactly. So I had a lot of people talk to me about this kind of cool JRPG, Persona 4 Golden, which is a remake of, like, it's like a, quote, definitive edition. You usually see, like, a game of the year with, like, a bunch of other games and stuff like that. But this one is just kind of a from-the-ground-up remake almost. Like, some of the voice actors are different. They added on essentially an entire other third of the game to the end of it, which is cool.
All right. So before we get to the weeds here.
Yeah, yeah.
So Persona 4 Golden,
yes,
is a remake of Persona 4.
Kind of. It's like the definitive edition.
Okay. So do you think that started, like, heralded the start of this age we live in where they're not quite remakes, they're not quite remasters,
no,
they're not quite Game of the Year editions?
I think... that, like, the concept of a, like, Game of the Year edition where you have everything in one complete package definitely was around before that. Mm-hmm. Atlus, and specifically, like, the Persona team do it in kind of a weird way. That's, you see a lot with some, like, JRPGs. Like, Dragon Quest XI is doing it this year. Persona 5R just got announced, which is going to be, like, the, quote, golden version of that game.
Of course, disclaimer, I don't know anything about Persona at all, except it has a great soundtrack.
It has a great soundtrack.
That's straight up all I know. And the art looks cool. But I am ignorant as hell. I don't know anything about Persona.
Yeah. So let me just start at the beginning. I took some notes here because I wanted to take this one a little seriously, you know? So Persona 4, I guess in particular, it's a turn-based RPG, but like half of the game is spent like going through these dungeons and fighting like these demons called Shadows. And the other half of it, you're just like a regular high school kid and you're just like taking tests and like studying for your exams. And maybe you'll like go hang out with your friends over lunch, or you like date people. Like, it's half social sim and half dungeon crawler. Mm-hmm. But like, it's really kind of neat. So like, your character is in the game, doesn't actually have a name. Later on, they gave him a name because there's an anime, a bunch of fighting games.
Wait. No, slow this down. You can't just say all those things. Mm-hmm. What in the world do you mean?
So what would you have a question about, I guess?
That's a great question.
Okay.
So in what game are you saying, at the beginning of all Persona or the beginning of Persona 4?
So I've only played 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
But you basically start out as, like, the premise is always the same across all of them. Like, you're a new student to this area and you are named whatever the hell you want to be because you're designed to kind of just play as yourself and like,
I mean,
make
is
those
it a,
decisions.
A Zelda thing where you're like, my name is Teabag.
Yeah, totally. Like, okay. you absolutely name your character.
Okay.
Like, canonically, they have a name because they did like animated series for all of them. And then they
found
were
out,
like,
after two full playthroughs of Undertale, that your character who you name actually has a name.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing here. But you're like a transfer student from the city. Your parents left the country for an entire year and just like shipped you off to your uncle in this small town.
Fantastic.
It's rough.
That's parenting right
there.
Oh,
it's really just
top-notch.
Bad parenting. But whenever you arrive, like, you start going to school, things seem weird. There's this thing called the Midnight Channel, which is like this urban legend where if it's raining at midnight, then your TV is just going to come on its own. And it's going to show this, like, staticky screen. And then it's going to show you, I think it was, like, your true love or something. It's been a minute since I've, like, played the start of this game.
But I'm on board with all this.
Yeah.
I actually love this kind of thing.
At first, I was like, oh, this is, like, some Ring thing. A little girl's going to run out of the TV and murder you. But it sounds a lot better.
It's kind of actually...
The first 10 minutes of the game, you die.
So it's actually kind of like that. So the...
But true love versus a little girl that murders you.
Right.
A little better.
So eventually you make a couple friends, and then you guys are like talking about the Midnight Channel, everybody's gossiping in like this small town high school, and you see this one girl, this like upperclassman, she appears on the Midnight Channel, and then like a couple days later she just turns up dead.
Ooh.
So
classic.
You and like your friends essentially for the rest of the game are just trying to like, all right, cool. I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm sorry.
I'm here for it though.
Okay, great. So you, like, touch the TV and your hand goes through it, which is a weird thing. So you're like, what the hell is going on?
That is a weird thing.
Yeah.
I'd say the last time that happened to me, I freaked out.
So then you, like, the rest of the game, you and your friends, like, get the power to go into the TV and you awaken to a persona, which is essentially a Pokemon. Like, you basically collect personas and, like, fuse them to make more personas and do, like, cool turn-based combat with said personas. Yeah, so I think, like, the murder mystery aspect of it is really cool. It was, like, a really kind of gripping thing. Obviously not the thing that I got the most out of.
And this is in which one?
4.
Okay, sorry, I'm going to ask that, like, 9 more times.
That's okay.
So
if I talk about...
Persona 4...
Yes.
...is the main mystery of the game, for the whole game, trying to solve that mystery? Like, you're trying to solve that murder?
Yeah, you and your friends basically bond over, and, like, the main device driving the plot forward is the fact that somebody is fucking murdering people in this small town, and you are trying to figure out why.
Ooh, do more people appear on the TV? And
yes.
Ooh. And they die later on?
That depends. That's up to you. But if that does happen, it's a game over.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, if it depended on me,
right.
everyone would have died anyways.
Well, going from that point on...
No hope.
without getting into the risk of spoilers, most of the people who appear on the TV are party members that you're going in to rescue.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah, like essentially
it's like a recruitment.
Right. So they eventually like figure out like somebody's throwing people into the TV and then you're basically trying to figure out who the fuck it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. But spoiler alert, it's actually you the whole time.
Oh my god. So like I think the personas have like a cool design. A lot of them are just based on like Japanese or different like types of mythology of the world, and that's handled really well. Everything's got this really kind of neat art style. Like the game is also super stylized, not to the extent that you would see like in Persona 5, because obviously that game is just style personified, you know. But it's got this like kind of neat little style. The music in it, as I've alluded to many times, fucking slaps. And yes. I would say, and I'm going to put it on record on this podcast, music in Persona is kind of like my favorite video game music, and I would say it is the fucking slappinest.
Ooh.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. That's
write that one down. For
I will.
You. So
that's
yeah,
what the kids say nowadays.
The slappinest.
The right, slappinest.
Right. So like yeah, like talking about the music, I've just really like I still listen to it just casually all the time, and I still like kind of have the same emotional reactions that I get from just how much I absolutely love this game. It's got like just really cool style. I was really fucking impressed with how well they handled like integrating that stuff into the recent Smash Bros. DLC.
Yeah. Because
Joker from Persona 5, who is the main character, is a fighter. And they added like 4 or 5 songs from 5, and then they added like 3 songs from 4, and then like 2 songs from 3.
Nice.
Which I thought was just a really cool, like nice homage, you know? My voice just cut out there. Yeah.
So Joker's the first.
Yes.
Like I had seen. Oh, sorry about that. So I had seen when Persona came out. Several people whose opinions I respect in the video game community really enjoyed that game, but I've seen games like that, and the people who have explained that to me, I've been like, all right, this is a game I want to watch. Like, I'm not a big JRPG guy, mm-hmm. But I tell you what, the style that comes off of even the most barren snapshot of that game is gorgeous. Even for a minute there were memes all over the place that from 5 show like the UI for choosing
like the combat and stuff that just around like different characters. I saw like Mo from The Simpsons and I thought that was the funniest
yes,
shit.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my god.
I love that because I didn't even see the combat in the game, but because that menu like and nothing else told me that it was Persona. But because that the style in 5 is so unique to that, I immediately knew what it was by the color scheme and by all the animals on it and stuff.
Right.
And man, that's being true to your brand. Like that I hadn't even seen that before, and immediately knew that was from like combat in the game. And I'd never even seen combat. So like for sure, as an outsider, they are nailing it. I mean that. I don't know about the rest of the series, but certainly 5
I would
is
say,
dripping
like,
with
even
that stuff.
Like 4 and 3, obviously, those are the only ones that I can speak to. I fired up the first one a little bit, but it is very tough to play.
Dude, there's so many series like that, like Grand Theft Auto.
Sure.
Just,
that's because GTA 1 is like top down.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And
like,
even the Fallout games, I never went back and played Diablo 1 and started on 2. But there are so many series where, like, when you get into them and they're already that far in, once you go back, past a certain point, even Mass Effect, fantastic trilogy.
That first one's hard to play.
The fourth one doesn't exist.
That first one.
actually, I haven't played it, so I can't really rip on it. But the first one, if you don't start there, tough.
It's really hard to go back.
It's
absolutely
very difficult to go back.
And I made the mistake of playing 4, then 5, and then 3, which don't, by the way.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
You had a thing you wanted to bring up?
What I was going to bring up was, so when did the first game come out?
So the first Persona game... I have no idea. Let me look that up real quick. Because that was a PlayStation 1 game. And all of them up to Persona 4 Golden are technically like offshoots of the Shin Megami Tensei franchise, which is
cool. Oh, yeah, SMT.
Yeah. Revolution Persona, it's the first game. When did it come out? Sorry, I know this makes for great content. Originally
That's
released for the PlayStation in Japan and North America on 1996.
1996.
Okay, so because since we're talking about the soundtracks to the series here, one thing that I always found really interesting about a lot of games and their soundtrack is like the transition from like old school, like they were essentially chiptune music to now modern day where they actually have a full blown orchestra. And of course, even in the middle when they were like MIDI, so it was like a fake orchestra, like half orchestra, half chiptune. Like, is that kind of like how they handled the music? Like, I guess if it was from 96, it'd be more of the MIDI style than the actual old 8-bit music. Right.
So the version that I'm playing of the first one, or have played, I fell off of it pretty hard because it's very, it is a product of its time for sure. I'm playing the PSP remake on my Vita. So I don't know if the music was kind of up-res, but it still kind of has that same kind of core style. Like, if you listen to any song in Persona 3, 4, or 5, like, they all, I don't really know what it is about it, but all of them feel like they're part of that franchise. Like, they have this kind of, like, core, almost, like, over-the-top, really just kind of cool feeling, which really just kind of personifies that entire series.
Just before we were, you know, when we were setting up, I played some of the Persona soundtrack off of YouTube, which, bummer, it's not on Spotify, like, actual bummer.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Yeah, Persona 5 is one of the only soundtracks, besides some Zelda tunes, that I've had to go to YouTube to look for.
Yeah.
But I pulled it up, and immediately it was like, oh, this is definitely Persona.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely.
That checks out with what I know.
Yeah, just Shoji Meguro, who's the, like, main composer, and I think he directed a couple of the earlier ones as well, he just has this really cool, distinct style and knows exactly kind of what he wants with the Atlas sound team and what that sounds like. And all of them have this kind of cool, distinct genre feel to them. Like, 3 is more focused, like, it's kind of a like a hip-hop style. Like, there's a lot of rap in Persona 3, which is great.
Is it actually great?
It's actually great. I really like it a whole lot. And then 4 is got more of like an upbeat, kind of a J-pop-y kind of feel to it. Okay. And then 5 is very, like, almost an acid jazz, kind of a, like, underbelly, because, like, you're a fucking thief, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, that's kind of like talking about your favorite artists and them trying to experiment with slightly different genres, even though you can tell that they have, it's pretty much the same consistent style with slight modifications and variations throughout their albums.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they, in the recent, like, announcement trailer for the remake of 5, like, they put out the new, what I'm assuming is the new opening theme song. I'm like, yeah, no, this fits right the fuck in. So I'm like, great, cool, more of that. Let's give it to me, you know? Yeah, so, like, moving on from the music, which I think is really cool and definitely a big staple of what makes the series so cool, I really enjoy the kind of meat and potatoes of the social simulator side of things in Persona 4. It's called the social link system, where essentially you have these ranks that go up the more you spend time with different characters in the game.
And it's like your cool level.
Kind of. It's basically just like, hey, you are now at like bond level 4 with this person.
Mm.
And I really, really kind of liked that it essentially rewards you for like digging into the backstories and like learning more about these characters. And like most of the female characters in it, you can like enter a relationship with, which is neat. Cool.
Yeah, it's a cool thing.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. It felt like you were essentially rewarded in game for like digging into these characters and like spending time with them, getting to know kind of the world, because like with just kind of their experience and their perspective also comes with some like cool world building stuff, because I think they do a fucking excellent job of really realizing what it's like to just live in a small town where just absolutely everybody knows each other. I'm not from a super small town, but there's a big group of people in my hometown that absolutely know every single thing about everybody at all times. You know?
All right.
Yeah. They're the person, like, you go to the grocery store, and if you want to get the dirt, you just hang out for a minute.
Oh, God. Going to Walmart with my parents is an absolute fucking nightmare. We go for one thing and stay for, like, an hour and a half. I can't do it.
It checks out.
Love you, Mom. I know you're listening to this. So basically, like, as those ranks go up, each of them is assigned a different arcana, and it's just, like, they're assigned, like, this person is, like, this tarot card arcana. Like, you have, like, the Fool, you have, like, the Tower, the Hanged Man, like, actual tarot cards. Like, those are, I don't want to say types, because there's also, like, type matchups, but that's, like, kind of their classification. And each, there's a bunch of different personas in that type of classification. And once you, like, get to a certain level, if you fuse a persona of that, like, classification of that arcana, then you are kind of rewarded for having spent this much time with that person, and you get this massive fucking experience boost to your newly fused persona, so you can get a much stronger persona than the one that you're trying to get. So the game does reward you for like actually putting in the work and doing that. It's also not really a requirement. I don't know if you can get through the game without doing it, because I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
But it...
It's a challenge mode.
Sure.
Hey, yeah. Man, give this man a beer.
You did.
Yeah,
I did.
You did. At the very beginning.
Yeah, so I think the thing that really appeals to me a whole lot about it is, and the, like my biggest takeaway and why this game means so much to me is just the fact that I really, really became attached to these characters incredibly quickly. Like way quicker than I thought. Whenever I first fired up this game, I basically just laid on my couch in my apartment and just, you know, played on a portable system for like 90 hours straight.
Oh God.
That's I got it over the summer.
You could have said 10 hours or even like 12 hours straight, and I would have been like, oh yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like actually 90 hours straight.
No, 90 hours straight, no bathroom breaks.
For like 2 weeks, all I would do is just like, I would lay on the couch and just play this fucking game. I would go to work, and I had like a cushy library job, so I just played Persona at work. Like, it just that, kind of
dude,
took
like,
over my life in a way
that's some Inception
shit.
Yeah,
right,
seriously.
Totally. It took over my life in a way I really did not expect it to. There had been friends of mine who, for years, tried to get me into this series back when they were on the PlayStation 2. Like, back in 2008. My friend Willow was like, hey, you should check this game out. And I, like, vividly remember watching her do combat, and just, like, I would watch him, like, man, I don't really care about this. Like,
that's how I feel with all JRPGs.
It was kind of cool, but I'm like, ah, whatever, like, I don't really think it's that interesting. And then I picked it up, and I'm like, I'm so fucking sorry. I'm so sorry. And then another friend of mine, Tyler, in college was like, you need to play this fucking game. And I'm like, yeah, I might get around to it. And then, like, after I finished it, I remember sitting at lunch with him, and we were just talking about it for, like, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the characters really appealed to me a whole lot. And, like, the dynamic between you and just all of your friends. Because they're all just kind of about positivity in spite of this very clear, shitty situation where people's lives are in danger. They're always just like, yeah, we can do this, like, almost to the point of annoyance a little bit. But I feel like it's handled relatively realistically. I really kind of appreciated that there were a lot of times where you like saw these characters like kind of be broken down. And actually, whenever you do go into the TV, light spoilers, to rescue like some of these party members, in order to actually get them, you face their shadow, which is in like, I don't know if you guys are familiar lightly at all with Jungian psychology and the persona and the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Explain for the other people who aren't in this room who definitely don't know what that is.
Okay. Is that you?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay. So like a persona is like the personality that you project to others. So it's like who you are as a person and how you are around those people. And the shadow is kind of like the exact opposite of that. It's like the personality that you really kind of regress and you like hide away and like,
so
you
like
know
Celeste.
Totally. Like it's very much like that.
Cool.
And you,
Celeste, brand new game. First work in the history of humanity to ever do something.
Yeah,
like that.
Absolutely. First one to invent the double jump also.
Ah.
Yeah. So you will find, like you're going through and you're fighting shadows and you're fighting essentially like your friend's shadows is like this big boss for this dungeon, and then that like rescues them.
I've always wondered, because I've heard about like basically you do that. You like get into somebody's head or something and you do a dungeon. And I always hear about like the end of the dungeon is the thing. It's like the big bad is like the actual persona or whatever. But what is the rest of the dungeon entail?
So,
is it a puzzle? Are you fighting?
So the dungeons in 4 are not great. Like, just full stop. They are not really that fun to explore.
Random encounters?
There are... So you can see the enemies pop up.
Okay.
And you can, like, attack them to get, like, advantage in a fight. But they do randomly pop up. It's kind of like in the new Pokemon game. Let's
yep.
go. Like, they just kind of appear on the world, and then you can attack them, or they, like, attack you.
Nice.
But you're essentially going through, since you, like, found them on the Midnight Channel, you go into their dungeon. So, like, one of the first ones is, like, this castle, and, like, one of your main party members, like the first person that you rescue, her name's Yukiko. She basically is this like really kind of reserved, like almost professional girl. Like she helps her family run the local inn that is like a big staple of the economy of this town. And you, like, she essentially is just like, I'm tired of doing all the work. Like, I want this, like, hot and sexy prince to come get me. And it's like, the shadow version of her is obviously doing all of this and, like, kind of egging people on and, like, showing all this stuff on the Midnight Channel. And you're going through essentially a dungeon castle that is, like, created of, like, her, like, deepest desires that she is, like, pushing away, that, like, every single dungeon and like every party member that you rescue, like you're going through like their kind of a version of hell, like their like shadow where it would be at. You're seeing them kind of at their lowest and like the worst parts of them. And then once you like kind of overcome that threat and then they like recognize like, hey, this shadow is just like who I am. That's part of me. Like, that's okay. They accept it. They then get their persona. They are considered rescued and like everybody is just like super cool, yay, awesome, we're happy, we get you out of here. But the part that really appealed to me thematically is just the idea of just like you have all of these people willing to go through all of these lengths of everything that you think is just absolutely the worst shit about you, and they just still accept you no matter what, and they help you like overcome the struggle. And that's a very big recurring theme in this game, is the fact that friendship and your bonds and like your strength, and I know it's a total like Japanese like animation and Japanese RPG like stereotype of like how friendship overcomes all, but like this one really kind of set it home for me. Like the fact that your support system, whenever you really need it, is really kind of, if it's all you have, then you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And that really resonated with me a whole fucking lot.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I, not to talk about my other stuff, but I had a game experience recently that was like, mm-hmm. that, where it's just like, oh man, oh, my buddies are here.
Yeah.
You know? And that was so rewarding. Like, it's nice when you play through a game that has, that it creates an ensemble.
Right.
And, you know, with the game, how long is Persona 4? I know 5 is like 100 hours.
4 is about that. It's a little bit shorter. I also played Golden. I don't know how long the base Persona 4 is, but I think my first playthrough ended up finishing up at about like 80, 90 hours.
Cool. Well, yeah. I mean, you spend all that time with these characters. So, you know, that is no small amount of time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in all honesty, this sounds goofy, it is, but you play a game like that and you're going to spend more time with any of these characters. You're going to spend more time with them than some of the people you know in real life who you probably see on a regular basis.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah. So that's crazy. So yeah, I mean, you really do feel like, you know, that you've made friendships along the way.
No, like this game is...
That's a true journey or the true reward. That's
and, right. Like, you're totally joking, but, like, this game is absolutely about, like, the friends you made along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see just since... So the game takes place, like, over the course of 1 year. Like, you are basically there for your entire stay in Inaba after your parents just, you know, ship you off to this fucking podunk town. And then from so whenever you, like, go to the train station to go back home. And, like, that's when the credits roll.
But that's funny that like you do all that stuff and you're like, hooray, everyone's happy. Now I'm going to go back to my family who hates me.
Totally. And I think they handle that really well. And I do not want to spoil this for anybody, because if this at all sounds remotely interesting to you, like I absolutely need you guys to play this game. they do just such a good job of like building that team camaraderie and like building up those bonds to where nothing really feels forced. You like hang out with like one person and then your team just like slowly gets bigger and bigger, and you're like hanging out with people individually, or you like see other people hanging out with other people, and that's just kind of a cool thing. But you all meet up at this food court at the local mall, and that's like your quote base of operations. And just you guys sit around there and use bullshit, and then you're just like, all right, cool, let's go into the TV. We got to rescue this dude and go fight fucking demons, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So actually, I got two questions.
Okay. Hit me.
First one is this thing actually, I guess it's not really a question, it's a side monologue. It sounds a lot like Fire Emblem, like the whole support stuff. And in fact, I always was wondering why, because the new one, have you guys seen anything about the new one?
Three Houses?
Yeah.
That one? Yeah, I've like seen a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's like set in an academy, so it's like a school setting. Like, yeah, I've seen so many people say, oh, we Persona now. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Right.
But now I totally get it. Yeah, especially because like the bond forging is like very similar to their support structure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because like if you put certain characters together, they you get a lot of synergies, and most importantly, it is a massive eugenics simulator. Well, at least the way I play it is I optimize everything extremely hardcore.
Oh, you're the rule with an iron fist kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. So that's actually really fascinating. The second thing, though, is it's actually very similar to that. I feel like in Fire Emblem, the whole social non-combat form has become way too tedious, and I really just want to, like, send my army out and murder some people. Mm-hmm. So, does the social part become, like, really tedious? Does it, like, affect the flow of the game?
So, the way that the game kind of flows and the way that it actually, like, you kind of calculate your playthrough is it's on a calendar system. So, you start out, I want to say it's April 22nd. That could be wrong, but, like, you just spend each and every day. You get, like, an action that takes time during the day and an action that takes time during the evening. And then you like go to school the next day and then you have another action after that. And then you have an action in the evening. And it's very segmented and broken off like that. I never really got tired of like finding things to do, like exploring that town and like spending that time with those people. If anything, I think the combat is probably the most repetitive part of that game. The way the combat works in Persona, at least from 3 on, I have not really played a whole lot of 1. But the way that it works is, like, you have, like, your type weaknesses and stuff like that. And you have, your like, your party of 4, and then you got these personas that you're fighting, these shadows that you're fighting, excuse me. And if you, like, if somebody's weak against ice, and you cast an ice spell on them, then they go down, and you actually get another turn. So you can, if you, like, if you keep repeating that and, like, take down the entire enemy team, you essentially do what I think is hilarious and also super effective. You just rush in and beat the shit out of them. Like, no joke. Like, you just, like, run in and just everybody just beats the shit. Exactly. Like, you guys have played the Joker DLC in Smash?
Yes.
Sure. So his final smash is that. It's an all-out attack where he, like, rushes in and then, like, you see, like, the 4 people flash and then, like, just, like, shoots all over the fucking place. That's how it looks in 5. You just rush in and beat the shit out of them because they're helpless.
Got him.
And that's really cool.
Wait, so who are you fighting? Are you fighting people or are
you're fighting like these like shadows. These shadows.
Okay,
these,
so
like,
it's shadows all over.
Sure, yeah. Like you are essentially only fighting shadows.
I feel less bad about that. Yeah, I definitely condone murder in video games, but something about beating the crap out of some people as a team.
No, you just like rush in and beat up like one of them looks like a fucking table. You just beat up a table. You know, that's cool.
You fulfill that that fantasy.
I was going to say, it reminds me of that JoJo's Bizarre Adventure meme where, like, it's 2 guys beating up on a guy and a 3rd guy's just, like, sitting here. It's like a cafe. And then suddenly he joins in and beats on the guy, too.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah, I just think, like, the combat is fun and it's engaging, but it definitely does get a little bit old. It's a little bit of a grind to play this game. Definitely not as much as it was in 3. My phone just turned off.
So like QOL updates.
Sure, yeah. And this is also like the golden version. So it's like the most refined version of 4. Yeah. And 5 improved on it even further. So like 5, if you want like the best playing one, it's absolutely the best one to start with.
I think that makes sense though. Like when you said combat's the most repetitive, just because like that's what I feel about most JRPGs is I just associate JRPG combat with grinding.
Yeah. And same here. And so, like, your party members all, like, they have their own personas, but, like, your special ability as, like, the main character is you get a whole fuckload of personas and you can just swap between them. So, like,
OP.
You can... Essentially, it's not really OP just because, like, your teammates are set to, like, certain types. And also, if you
I just mean in the world of Persona, your dude is OP. Everybody else rolling out with one, and he's like, I got, like, 90.
Like, the main character in all of them is just like, fuck it, I can have 12 of them. You know, whatever.
You know, main characters, am I right?
Right, yeah. But I forgot the point I was trying to make. Oh, yeah, if, like, you get hit by a weakness thing, you're knocked down also. So, like, the like, that
and the
one...
The table and all the chairs and lampshades.
They'll straight up fuck you. Like, it's...
Oh!
Okay.
Not like that, geez. Right? This game is rated M, so... just kind of going forward from that, like, I think the... Like, kind of touching back on the relationships and everything, I think the relationships are absolutely the strongest part of that game. It was, looking back, it's, like, also to get, like, super personal here, because that's what the show is about. Looking back, I think the, like, couple of, like, romance options that I, like, kind of played around with and explored a little bit, they felt a lot more genuine than, like, at the time, I was not in a good place in a relationship, and... It was kind of almost an escape for me that I was just kind of subconsciously seeing, like, okay, well, I can just spend some time in this, like,
I could just ship myself off to a faraway digital small town.
Right, right. And, like, have these, like, friends who, like, are genuinely, like, really interested in hanging out with me. And not to say that I didn't have that at a time, but, you know, depression is a bitch and it'll do that
it
to
is.
You. It
is. You know, I mean, I had, when I played Mass Effect, that's what I went to that game for.
Sure.
Because I was like, oh, I can actually talk to these people. And the more I talk to them, the more they tell me.
Right.
Like a real conversation.
Yeah. And that it's exactly the same way here. And like, just even like the romance option that I did end up pursuing, everything felt like super genuine and good. And like, there was a big part of me that was just like, man, like, why can't I have this in real life with what I have now? And it was like very much a form of escape. And looking back, I'm just like, man, I really should have kind of done something about that. And maybe I'd be better off than.
Yeah, but easier said than done.
Sure. Right. Like, obviously you can't control that, and I got to where I am now because of everything that I have gone through up to this
point. So what you're really saying is that the game as a whole is your Shadow Realm.
Hmm, interesting. All right. Maybe.
Because it's like your like deep subconscious, what you like wish for as an ideal like undercut of or like a underlying symbol of who you are.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you to an extent. I think I agree with you more in the sense of like in like actual Jungian psychology, like a shadow doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. But like in Persona 4, like your shadow is a fucked up part of you. Or like just this part of you that has these like feelings that you feel are very negative.
It's like it's you, except your feet are backwards. It's really spooky.
Oh shit. Yeah. But I just like building up with all of that, and you see, you spend so much time with these characters. Like, obviously, it's over the course of an entire year, and the best parts of that game are honestly like cool. You had this big boss fight, but they almost feel like just these kind of like gameplay checks to make sure that you're still kind of paying attention. The best parts of that game,
like,
are just
a quick time event kind of thing.
Yeah, it sort of, except with a lot more button presses.
Okay,
it very much feels like you get to know these people because everything, like I said earlier, just kind of comes up organically, and like it feels like it's actually growing. You're adding new people. People are hanging out. And the best parts of this game absolutely are just the times where you and your friends are just like, hey, like we just rescued this person. Let's go celebrate. Like this person runs an inn. Let's just stay here for the night and just all hang out with each other. Or like, hey,
that's
let's,
cool. I like that. I like it's, yeah. It's like the world exists, like our characters exist outside of combat.
Right. No. And that's basically like this entire game. Everything is just all about like you and your friends like being there together for each other no matter what. And it really was a super important game for me to play at the point that I did. I think, like I said, it was like the first game that actually like super like emotionally resonated with me to the point where like, yeah, I went through the final credits and was just fucking crying my eyes out because I do not want to get into it, but like your character is only there for a year, and it very much feels like, okay, like, obviously, like, you're gonna leave, you know? Mm-hmm. That's, like one of the first things that you know in this game. And it very much feels like you've spent all this time together, like, you have been hanging out with these people, and you have been making
like,
these connections with these people, and now you're just like, it's exactly like going to summer camp. You're making these connections with people, and then you leave, and you say you're going to visit, but you don't really know if you're going to, you know?
Oh, man. All the little memes that say, it's like, yeah, man, I'll see you tomorrow night. And it's like, last logged in 60 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, no,
it's like there was one day, neither you knew it, but there was one day that was the last day you would ever speak to each other kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, oh,
no,
man.
It's really, really sad. But thankfully, Atlas really likes money. So
a beautiful thing.
There are spin-off games that actually like take place after the events of this. So literally the first thing I did after I rolled the credits was I knew in advance that I was not going to want to leave these characters. So I borrowed a friend of mine's copy of Persona 4 Arena, which takes place immediately after that game.
What?
Of you,
is this
like,
what you meant by fighting games and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, so there's like an actual like 2D fighting game. They're fucking awesome.
And it's and it is basically like
it
not DLC, but like follow-up.
It is, like, the story of it takes place, I think, on a break after... You're basically on break for the semester, and you go back to visit your friends.
Like, a fighting game as in an actual, like...
It's a 2D fighting game made by Arc System Works, the BlazBlue people and Guilty Gear people. Yeah.
So you guys went from fighting shadows and, like, imaginary things to
beating
each other up.
sort of. So, like, essentially, it's like
friendship for you.
The Midnight Channel comes back, and you see a shadow version of your party member, and you all go in there, and like things get all fucking scrambled up, and you're fighting like you're basically like the shadow like brainwashes your teammates. Classic. And it makes you fight each other in this like big tournament, but it's all presented in this really fucking cool like, oh shit, we got this cool fucking fighting tournament on right now. Everybody tune in.
Oh, it's that's fucking cool.
yeah, I really, 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 really liked it. But yeah, just I immediately fired that shit up just because I really needed to just spend more time with those characters. And I was obviously fucking ecstatic whenever Persona 5 came out, but I felt lacked a little bit in that kind of character side. The game was much better, but I felt just the environment I thought was really cool and like very well thought out, because it's just fucking Tokyo and they absolutely nailed the presence of it. But
the small town of Tokyo,
right? But I didn't.
So actually, did Persona 4 actually take place in a small town? Does it feel like a small town?
So it's not a real small town,
right?
But yeah, they just like made up a small town, and it feels just exactly what you would imagine living in a small town is. You know,
I guess I just made the assumption that the other Persona games were like 5, where you're just in the city. So I remember seeing pictures or like screenshots of 5, where you're like on the subway, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess in my head, I just thought that. Of course, when I picture Japan, I never picture like anything rural.
Yeah, there's like an actual countryside.
I just imagine like, oh, it's Tokyo as far as the eye can see.
Sure, sure. Yeah, but like I completely forgot the point I was trying to make.
Nope, sorry about that.
That's okay.
You were talking about going back to the story, because there's actually
So the story was really cool, and the stuff they did in 5 I thought was absolutely just awesome. There was some pacing issues, but that's also besides the point. But I didn't really feel like there was as much character development. I didn't get attached to these characters as much. I liked a lot of the characters in 5, but you don't really get scenes of everybody hanging out together. It's just like, all right, cool, we're meeting up to do Phantom Thief shit, and then it's just, all right, cool, me as Joker is just going to go hang out with On or whatever, and you don't really get that kind of sense of team camaraderie, because you're a thief.
Hi!
But they are, it does look like, from the stuff that I'm seeing in the Persona 5 R trailer, that they are leaning more into that, and I know I think one of the guys who was the head guy on Golden is working on this, which is really great news. But yeah, I really feel like 4, in my opinion, is, as far as like emotional impact, the best the series has been. Even down to like little things where in 5 the social links like reward you with like in combat buffs, and like this person will let you like swap out your party members, and that's cool. But I felt like I wasn't chasing these characters because I wanted to actually feel like I wanted to know a bit more about them. I was chasing them because I wanted to be able to run if I got surrounded in a fight. And in 4, like, you only get like the baseline experience buff that is also present in 5, but 4 felt more genuine because you invested that time because you wanted to actually spend time with that character.
Yeah.
But do you think that way now, counterpoint, do you think that way because that was your 4 with your first game? So it was like the entire thing was new to you, so therefore you were most receptive to it. Once you get around to playing 5, you're like, the CJ meme, oh yeah, oh, oh shit, here we go again. Yeah,
dude, I had the same question. I asked myself the same question about Elder Scrolls Oblivion and Skyrim, because I like Oblivion more. I have very strong feelings about the game. Skyrim is indisputably a better game in almost every way, but I still like Oblivion more, and I have trouble pinpointing why. And I wonder how much of that is actually my experience with the game, and how much is the game, and how much is my perception because it was just new to me.
Right. So to answer your question, Lang, I don't know. Just because I feel like, I guess if it was my first kind of exposure to the series was 5, which is a lot of people's exposure to the series for the first time, which is fucking great. 5 is a great game. Do not get me wrong. But I don't know. I do think like the characters are more realized and kind of well thought out and a lot more complex in 4, but I don't know. I guess I don't have an answer for it, because I don't want to like say that I would, but because I just honestly don't know.
You're subconsciously a Gen 1-er, except you're a Gen 4-er.
Right, right. And yeah, I they're good games. You guys play Persona. The problem is, like, 4 Golden is really hard to get a hold of now.
You got to lay this out for me.
Yes.
Okay. Logistics wise.
Okay.
Now, I'm zooming out here because we started to talk about this in the past, and I was like, I don't know. So, Persona 1 came out for PlayStation 1.
Yes.
The other ones came out in some order on some systems, but now we have almost PS5, get it, Persona 5. We have Persona 5 on the PS4.
And 3.
And 3. Yes. So then Persona 4 was on the PS3 only.
Persona 4 was released in 2008 on the PlayStation 2.
Dang.
Yeah. It's a PS2 game.
Okay.
It's like one of the last PS2 games.
Okay, so that came out on PS2. So
Persona
3 Golden
also came out on PS2.
Okay.
But Persona 4 Golden came out in 2012 on the Vita.
Only the Vita.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is why it's hard to play.
Yes.
So you have to either track down a PlayStation Vita, or you have to find a PlayStation TV, and good fucking luck.
Did they only make those for like 2 years?
They probably didn't even make them for 2 years.
Oh, no.
It's a fucking bummer, because I really do want more people to play this game. Like, I was very convinced that my friend Laura would absolutely fucking love this game, because she's like, I want a good game with like a cool story and cool characters. I'm just like, fucking Persona 4. And I just like let her borrow my Vita for like a year, and she played it and fucking loved it. And then she came over recently and just like our hangout time was just, she would play like Persona 5 for like 3-4 hours at a time. And we would just kind of like, I would just watch her and hang out with her, and it was just this cool experience. But yeah, it's a real big bummer that game is not more accessible.
I mean, there's a very accessible option
for
everyone.
Well, there's not an accessible legal option.
Yar fiddle dd.
Right. Yeah, but like, I would love to see this game like, hey, just fucking port it to the Switch or something like that. You know, I really...
Everything needs to come out for the Switch.
At this point,
I mean,
probably.
Did you see that April Fool's joke?
No.
The IGN Direct thing?
Yeah,
that was good.
I just saw... I actually thought this was a joke. I just saw this a couple days ago. Did Resident Evil 4 just come out on the Switch?
Yes, it just did, yeah.
That's crazy.
They're completing their quest to port it onto fucking everything.
Dude, that's insane. If RE4 can come out on the Switch in 2019, Persona 4 should be able to come out on the Switch in 2019.
And that's the weird thing. I mean, like,
Capcom is probably more known for that than Atlas would be.
Sure, yeah. So the weird thing is, so a lot of people recently, there was cryptic announcements for whatever the fuck P5R was going to be and whatever the fuck P5S was going to be, because that was like kind of going around for a while. And a lot of people were like, oh, Persona 5 Royal, we already knew that it was called Royal, and a lot of people just assumed, okay, cool, it's going to be a golden version of Persona 5, which it is, and I'm super fucking here for it. But a lot of people were like, P5S, oh shit, they're going to put Persona 5 on the Switch.
Oh,
which would be great. It's not that. It's a spin-off game, because if you kind of look at it just historically, every single mainline like Persona game has only come out on a PlayStation system. The spin-offs get ported out to fucking everything. Except for like, they put out Dancing Games also for like 4, which is canon.
What?
Yeah. The like last bit
of DDR, or
like, it's a rhythm game where you use like the face button, like the right side of the face buttons and the left side of like the D-pad. And you basically just play the rhythm game, and your characters
like
are dancing to
like
cool remixes of
Hatsune
music.
Miku games.
Yeah, it's totally like that. But
what a strange franchise.
Right, and those only ever came out on PlayStation systems also. But like this new one, this Persona 5 Scramble, which is essentially Dynasty Warriors with Persona, which I'm extremely here for.
What is this?
Yeah, no. Persona runs deep, my dude.
Yes, it does.
That is coming to Switch also.
Wait,
so,
which one? The Dynasty Warriors?
The Dynasty Warriors
one?
Yeah.
And that one's called
Persona 5 Scramble.
Scramble. That's an unusual choice of name as well. Okay, so we have Persona Mainline Series 1 through 5.
Yes.
We have the remakes, however many there are across, like the Goldens, right?
Yeah.
And then we have a rhythm game.
Yep.
We have a fighting game.
A Mushu game?
Two fighting games, actually.
Two fighting
games. Yeah, so they did Persona 4 Arena, and then they did Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, which is a sequel.
They do love money.
They do, and I will buy anything they make.
The product's good.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Also, they're the team that made Catherine.
I keep forgetting it.
Yeah, they made Catherine at some point in there.
I was actually just... That was a question I was going to ask, because when you said that you were going to fight... you go into, like, people's, like, shadows... I was like, is that like the dream sequences in Catherine?
It's kind of similar.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of similar.
Yeah, our friend Rayshan, who's on the staff for our fighting game event, he said Catherine is his favorite game of all time.
Yep. Indisputably. And that remake's coming out soon.
Damn, that's high praise. So cool. I mean, it sounds like, you know, sounds like Atlus really has a good thing going on.
Totally. Like, it, there's whenever they announced Persona 5 R and S, they do a yearly big fucking, like, two-day concert of just Persona music. And I try to watch it every year. It's fucking awesome.
Like a symphony, just big, like a live thing?
It's essentially like a big, like, pop rock concert. Because...
Would you be surprised if Hatsune Miku, or whatever her name is...
Yeah.
Made a holographic appearance at that show.
I would, just because, like, that's not her music, but they have, like, the actual, like, artists who recorded the songs for it, and, like, the sound director, like, plays in the band, and they just, like, they basically have this house band that just puts on this big fucking stadium show that's fucking awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, there's also, there's a DS and 3DS spinoff game for Persona that has a mashup of, there's Persona Q, which is a mashup.
Q?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like a... I think it's like an Etrian Odyssey kind of style game, where it's like kind of this like grid-based dungeon crawler, and it's like turn-based combat. But it's got Persona 3 and Persona 4 characters in it, and it's like a mashup. And they're coming out very soon, I think this month, with Persona Q 2.
Oh my gosh, you're making this up.
I am not making this shit up. 3, 4, and 5 characters. Plus, there was two remakes of 3.
Oh my. Okay, well, I'm going to have to shut this podcast down.
There were two remakes of 3. One of them was only on the PSP, where you could play as a female main character, which is fucking cool, and they should do that again. Atlus, please do that again.
In 5 games, you've only played as men?
Yeah.
I wish I was surprised. It's not,
yeah,
not
that surprising. And like, there's also just, the series has a really, really unfortunate history with like, there's some transphobia and like homophobia, but like
in
like
the themes,
yeah, it's just not great. And it's really disappointing for me, who absolutely is super fucking in love with this series, and specifically like 4, there's problematic scenes in 4, like going back, but it's really disappointing that is there. And it's like just kind of this like blemish on something that I think that I hold so highly, like, yeah, just in regard, you know, it's it sucks, but I think it is. I think I'm still like, and this just goes for everybody. I feel like it's okay to love things, but also recognize there are problems with them, you know?
No, I think that's a dumb thing. There's no way
you have to fanboy 24/7.
Okay, well, fuck that.
That sounds awesome. The nice thing is there's like 98 hours of the game that you can use to think about.
Totally.
Think about its transgressions.
Right, right. Yeah, you've got time to realize, hey, that was kind of fucked up. Maybe don't do that.
Maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's super cool, and that's wild how deep that rabbit hole goes with the spinoffs and the remakes
of
the spinoffs and the double spinoff remakes.
They know what they have, and they're killing it. Like, I bought the fucking Persona 5 soundtrack on vinyl for $100.
Wow.
I am that bitch.
Really?
You like Persona.
I do. A whole fucking lot.
Man, you should record a podcast about it.
Oh, we just did.
Wait, we've been recording?
Yeah. Surprise, motherfucker.
But with the, hold on, with the actual mic?
Yeah, no, not the laptop one. I'm like 80% sure.
Ah, so jokes.
We'll find out. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of all I got for this one. You guys have any other questions or anything?
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Fatigue. Like, there has been so much, are they over-milking the series? Are they pulling an EA/Activision where, you know, you milk it as much as you can, you bring them to the ditch and you shoot them dead?
So, people kind of, like, felt that way about all the like extra stuff they did with 4. Like a running joke for a while before they actually like officially announced Persona 5, which was a fucking while ago, by the way.
That was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Persona 5 got announced in like, oh boy. Persona 5 got announced at the same time like the dancing games did, which were like the last Persona 4 games they did. It was like maybe 2013.
Wow.
And they were like, hey, yeah, it's coming out winter 2014, and it finally fucking shipped in like America in like April of 2016.
Oh no.
But like 4 came out in 2008, so like it had been a minute. Yeah. But like people were just like, all right, cool, we kind of get it, like, yeah, there's like Persona 4 characters and this is cool, and they're like branching out to do more different things. But once 5 came out, they just kind of quit doing that and moved focus onto, hey, we're putting out 5. And then they put out a Persona 5 and then a Persona 3 dancing game, which did not do very well. And then now they're doing this big remake of 5. So, like, we're very much, like, post-release of Persona 5 into that, like, hype spin-off milking cycle that they do. And we're probably going to see Persona 5 projects for a few more years.
Yeah.
And then maybe work on 6. I don't fucking know. Like, I'm not going to wait for it. Like, I'll play it when it comes out because it'll just take too long.
All right. If somebody wanted to play Persona 4 right now.
Yes.
So that's on PS3 and PS4.
So Persona 4.
No, that was on PS2.
Persona 4, the original game, is on PlayStation 2. Good fucking luck finding a copy.
And the golden one, easy to find, is only on Vita and PlayStation
2. It was like one of the best-selling... It's like one of the best-selling games on the PlayStation Vita. A lot of people bought Vitas for this game, which is fucking wild.
It was also a very low bar to cross.
Sure, totally. But it was like the first like killer app that the Vita had, really.
That sounds like that'd be a very cool game to play on the go, considering it has like that social life experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which would make it a great game on the Switch.
Oh, I absolutely fucking agree with you.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, we're waiting for that spin-off.
Yeah, you know, but...
So real talk, so if somebody did want to play Persona 4, though, they would either have to have a PS2
yes.
or a Vita.
Yes, there is also kind of a legendary thing. I know you're familiar with Giant Bomb. Mm-hmm. Kind of a legendary thing that they did whenever they launched their website was they did an endurance run of Persona 4, where it's just Jeff Gerstmann and Vinny Caravella just playing through all of Persona 4, like the original one. And it's fucking hilarious, but also they play through the entire game. So if you want to at least see it and experience
like a year
it, kind
of content.
Of, it's like 150 something episodes.
Wow. That's.
I mean,
that's
you
exactly
did an endurance run when you first
yeah,
started.
Yeah, no, I laid on my couch and fucking vegged out for like 3 weeks.
That's funny. Okay, so for people who. So I only own a PS4, right?
Yep.
It's the first Sony system I've ever owned. Mm-hmm. You'd still. I know 4 is your favorite, but I should check out 5.
5's great. 5, the only barrier to the series that I can really see are if you are kind of turned off by like a lot of just over-the-top Japanese bullshit. Like some people just don't like that in their games, or they like don't really consume like anime-style stuff, you know? That can be a turn-off because this game is Japanese as fuck. Like people call each other like senpai and all of that shit.
Okay.
Which, it's fine, whatever. But there's also, these games are just fucking long. Like, Persona 5 is 100 hours, and it's a console game. And, like, sure, I'm going to play Persona 5R for the whole fucking thing. I might platinum the motherfucker, because I hate myself.
Well, you need to stream it so I can consume it that way, because...
Let's not get into that, because Atlas
I'm gonna be honest
is awful
you.
When it comes to
streaming.
Oh,
yeah. I knew about that controversy. I remember that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, boy. That was a fucking mistake.
Okay, but. Well, man, that's a whole conversation. Well,
yeah.
I would genuinely love to watch that game.
Fuck it, honestly.
But
if you want to borrow my Vita, you can.
No,
like,
I don't.
That's fine.
If I convince my girlfriend to play,
just,
great.
Hey,
she's not.
Just, you just want to borrow my Vita? Like,
absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Cool,
you can't
whatever.
Even give this thing away.
No,
it's
I
nice
can't.
To know that I just wasted an hour of my fucking life. Cool. Yeah, that's kind of all I really have. But yeah, if any of these sound interesting to you, you should check out really any of them. The music's great. Obviously, the visual style's great. The gameplay's great. But like the experience of playing it and just at least... how it left me feeling emotionally, like at the credits and through the entire thing, not only really kind of changed like how it really just changed my life in a kind of a cool way. It's like the first game that I felt like actually really resonated with me in a way that kind of steered me in another path for something that I wasn't on. Like I'm way more outgoing now. Like I'm very appreciative to the people who are close to me. And I think that a lot of that, the roots are tied into the fact that I just had this really just kind of wonderful experience, you know?
Yeah. The question of the night is...
Hit me.
I hope I frame this right, because since I haven't actually played the game, I don't know how this works, but if you had a persona, if you had a shadow or a persona, what would they be?
Fuck. That's hard.
Because I can't answer that, because I wouldn't even
know
how to frame it.
So, like... So the way it works, I'm just going to keep going because I've tried to end
important.
The show like 3 times.
Yeah, well, you're not going
to
end the show on my watch.
Okay. So I honestly don't think I'm going to be able to give you an answer. Mm-hmm. Just because like whenever I think of the personas, I think of... So in 3, like they weren't really kind of like the power of your inner self. Like you have like realized your true self and that is your persona and you fight with that power. In 3, it was just like... Hey, this kid can use a persona. Like, your party member has a fucking elementary school kid and a fucking dog in it. In three. Not even, like, a dog, and there is an elementary school kid who has a spear that is bigger than him.
Oh, jeez.
And they just use personas. Also, in 3, you summon your persona by shooting yourself in the fucking head.
Oh, I think I heard about that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I think I heard about
yeah,
that too.
That's
yeah,
something.
Which may be why we haven't seen a re-release of 3, because
no,
maybe high schoolers shooting themselves is not something you want to put out right now.
No, that's a mystery to everybody. Who knows why it didn't come out?
Jesus. But yeah, so like in 4, a lot of them are like this kind of Japanese kind of folklore and mythology. And in 5, like all of the personas that you and your party members have or start with are like famous thieves throughout history. These, like, one of them is like Robin Hood, like yours is Arsene, who is the gentleman thief. One of them is like Ishiwaka Goemon. Like, just it's all very like thematically tied to what is happening in the game. So I don't know is my short answer.
Okay, well
yeah.
I'm glad you answered that.
You're welcome. We should end the show.
We
I've tried to do
show.
It like 4 times.
Yes, sorry, not sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, thank you guys for sticking around. Do you guys want to plug anything while you're here? You're welcome to.
Nah.
Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at the Candy Man. I'll just be the asshole who plugs himself. That's fine.
Perfect.
You can follow our other show at Gamer Heroes Pod on Twitter. You can follow our podcast network at Heroes Podcasts. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/heroespodcasts. Please give us money so we can get more than a single mic that we're using in a very live room.
Hey.
Hey. That's going to be it for me. So thanks everyone for hanging out. And go team.
Go team.
Go team.